Welcome to In Faith Network Radio. Celebrate Christ with us as we go behind the scenes of Christian entertainment to reveal hidden blessings and share with the Christian community. In Faith Network Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to In Faith Network. I'm your host, Sheila English, and with me tonight is my wonderful co-host, Anita Higman. Welcome, Anita.
Hi, Sheila. Very happy to be here this evening.
You know, this is going to go in the record books, I'm telling you. We have, you want to talk about hidden blessings. I know a lot of people are tuning in tonight because we're supposed to have Twyla Paris on the show, but Twyla has yet to call in. We don't know what has happened, but hopefully she'll be able to call in at some point tonight, and if not, we'll let you know when we can have her back. But as luck would have it, as Anita and I were sitting here talking, thinking, you know, saying, oh, she hasn't called, there must have been something happening, what are we going to do? Well, lucky for us, Roxanne Packham called in tonight. And she has a book out that I'm telling you is really interesting, and we have her on the line with us. Welcome, Roxanne.
Thank you. I guess it was a meant to be thing that I called in on the wrong day since I was supposed to be on in June, but I guess God works all things out for the best.
You know what? That is exactly right. That is.
Oh,
that's
funny.
Like this is so funny. We have a guest that didn't call in, and then we have a guest that did. So we're gonna rock this out. And I know we were talking a little bit before the show started. You know, Roxanne, your book is Inspired Design.
Uh-huh. And my 18-year-old daughter, she's 18-year-old now. She and I wrote it. We began working on it about 5 years ago, and we did it as a mother-daughter project so that I could kind of teach her some ways to be in the world but not of it. And our family's heritage is design. My grandfather and great-grandfather were silversmiths, so that was always the discussion at the dinner table, and it seemed a natural way to teach her how to use the gifts we were given. And you know, we used a great photographer and came out with a book that's hopefully meant to inspire women to practice hospitality more.
And I love that. You know, I was talking. We were talking earlier. This book has actually become quite the conversation piece in my office.
Well, that's good.
Yes, that's good. Yes, but well, it's very unique. You know, when I first heard about the book, it's like, well, you know, it's through a Christian publisher. It's about design and what, you know, how do you mix those two things? I was very curious, and then I got the book. It's a beautiful book, by the way.
Thank you.
Lots of amazing pictures in there, and you know what was interesting to me, and I'm currently looking at your site, but let me just real quick before we get much further, I do want to let our listeners know this is a live show, and we do have the chat session open. And if you have any questions, go ahead and just give us a call. It's 646-200-4071. And this is going to be a really interesting show. For those of you who are really interested in design and, we talk a little bit about you know, certain types of occasions and how to prepare for that. This book is what we're going to be talking about, and you may have questions, and we're going to talk about stuff that I've never even thought about before, so that's going to be real fun. But I know some of our listeners like to look at the websites where we're talking to our guests, so please let me give you the URL. Here's the website. It's www.inspired31, and that's the number 31.org. And you'll see a hospitality blog there, and there's some media. There's more information about the book. And I'm assuming, Roxanne, that this beautiful picture that I see here of these four lovely girls, that you are amongst them.
I am blonde, but I'm actually not, because I wanted, there's pictures of my daughter and I all over the place. So we actually started a ministry after the book, because so many moms and daughters moms and teenage daughters wanted a kind of the idea of a project. So inspired31.org kind of came alongside of it, and those are two moms and two daughters that are in the ministry as well. And so that's actually what that picture is. But you can click on the hospitality blog. You can click on my Pinterest links. You can click on the book and see sample pages. And it's kind of the hub of all things inspired, so we call them. But what you said earlier was, I wanted to comment on that before I forget, is that I particularly wanted to do a book of hospitality and beautiful interior design from the Christian perspective, because when you go to Barnes & Noble and you look on the shelves or whatever bookstores are popular in your area, they're all from some kind of different worldly perspective, or, they have definitely people's faith and their lifestyle and whatnot are portrayed in those pages. Well, there was not one I could find out of the hundreds of design books I've collected over the years, and I inherited my grandfather's collection of books and my mom's given me a ton. There was just nothing with a Christian worldview in the pages of these books. And I thought, you know, here we're talking about the home. I really wanted to have something that had scriptures across the beautiful pictures and traditional quotes by Thomas Jefferson and, and our founding fathers. And there was just nothing. And so it just started kind of taking on a life of its own. And the Lord kind of gave it to me in my quiet time for a year. In fact, I didn't progress until it was a whole year. And then it was just a huge blessing to spend all that time with my daughter. And then we got a great book. I think we got a great book that, will help to inspire women different ways to set the table and to kind of love others through their home.
I really love the entire idea of it. You know, I think... You know, you think Christian, you think tradition, mm-hmm. Sometimes we're out there and we're thinking, how can I outwardly show my love for Christ? How can I express myself through my sphere of influence? And people often overlook the very simple answer, which is through your home. Through the way that you you talk about hospitality, through the way that you have these parties. And I think that, it sounds like it's a little oversimplified to just say, show your inspiration, through your home. But I'll tell you, when I got this book, there are things in here I never would have thought about. I just didn't think about it.
Yeah, it's great, and it's kind of a twofold thing. It's the biggest opportunity most of us have in our lives is when others come into our home and we get to invite them and show them the love of Christ, just through personal gestures, whether it's a pretty set table or a very simple meal, a sweet little scripture or verse or quotation that is written by hand and put on the place. But it's also with the gifts that God has given us. And my husband kind of inspired me a little bit, because the money from this book actually goes to an orphanage in Romania. And where I got the idea to do that is we go over there. My husband's been going over for about 18 years to this one particular Heart of Hope Ministries International. And I watched him use his skills as a dentist to take care of these orphans for 2 weeks. And I kind of just like stared almost in awe because I didn't have a skill like that. I sort of felt paralyzed with sadness for the situation of these kids when we went over when we were very first married to serve in Romania. And so fast forward all these years, and I decided that it would be good to use, well, I didn't really necessarily decide as much as God kind of told me that this is what I was going to do, that to use my skills to be able to do something, even though it wasn't as traditional as medical or dental skills. And so it kind of came full circle in wanting to show my daughter that you could use any kind of skills just about that God has given you to kind of honor and take care of his people in another country that don't have parents. So that was, it was kind of twofold the reason for doing
answer.
It.
Sheila, would you mind if I break in with some questions? I'm about to explode with questions.
Oh, please, go ahead, yeah.
this is so fun, and I'm so glad to have you, Roxanne. We both are.
Thank you.
I have so many questions suddenly. I'm interested in the hospitality end, but I think I have friends that would say what do you do when you really want to have friends over, you really want to show hospitality, you really want to be a witness in that way, but what do you do when you have that thing inside you that wants to make everything perfect in your home and you know that will never be because there's dust on the piano and there's crumbs on the floor hiding under the table and, you know, there's all this stuff going on and there's chaos, perhaps toys under the, you know, everywhere. And maybe they just feel like they can never make it perfect. What would you say to all those women who want to show the gift of hospitality but that can't be perfect?
You know, there, I say it's twofold, and I say the first thing is don't forget that who's putting that thought, you know, in your brain and that's floating around is the enemy because he doesn't want you to encourage anyone. So he doesn't want that to go on. And when I've spoken at different events and I sometimes have a small group afterwards to just hear the thoughts, all of the women say, well, my house is too small. I live in a trailer. I this and that and the other, and I could give you like 50 things I've heard. And I said, okay, now without sounding like I'm mean, isn't that all about you? Because isn't when you have hospitality, isn't that supposed to be about them? And the second thought I have is I have had several girlfriends say, I love when you have us over to your house. When it's not perfect, it frees us up. And I'm thinking, was that a compliment or did you just diss me for having a messy house? but I think it's kind of, you know, it's kind of a funny thing because we kind of do, in a way, have to get over ourselves and realize dust on the piano, you know, I think God could probably do amazing things with dust on a piano. You know, I think I say it, you know, I'm joking, but I think it's about blessing the other person and kind of getting over ourselves and our, really it's kind of about pride. And I tell you that one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had in anyone's house, and I grew up in a quite a lovely area in California where the houses are big, but the most blessed time I ever spent was with this little old lady that I met up here where we live now, kind of a little more central California, and she had us over. They were retired and they lived in a mobile home. And she gave me the most beautiful experience of hospitality. I still remember it, and it was over 20 years ago, and I use that in every single speech that I ever give or talk because it wasn't about how beautiful her china was, how expensive her crystal was, how, you know, the square footage of her house, but I remember her greeting me at the door that she wasn't too busy creating a prime rib and different things. So I think we kind of have lost the art in the culture of Martha Stewart and everything has to be done spectacularly or don't do it at all. I think we've lost that thing of it actually is about having people over. It isn't about, you know, even though I wrote the book on table setting, it isn't really about the table setting. I give you ideas in here, but it's really all about extending the invitation because people need to be encouraged.
So it's like it's not really about performance, it's about feelings.
I think so. I think the one tip that I give about setting a table, and that is, you know, when you have little place cards and you have people's names on it, I always say, you know, do an encouragement on the inside. And my daughter, when she was 12, she used to do it, and she used to go get copy paper out of my copy machine. And so it wasn't fancy, and sometimes she tore it instead of cut it, and it was not as I would have done if I was, you know, really making a statement, but when they saw that we had thought about them, some of them cried, and I'm thinking, seriously, you're crying because we wrote you a nice scripture? But I think about when I go to other people's houses, and when you're thought of and people take the time to care about you, you just don't care what kind of paper it's written on. It's the thoughtfulness of thinking about someone else's, you know, needs.
Well, Roxanne, you were talking about people kind of weeping. I tell you, if you hear me sniffling right now, it's because you've actually got me crying. I mean, this is really, you've had some really beautiful answers here, very moving.
Oh, well, thank you.
And I just applaud you for what you're doing. I think it's lovely. But I have a question about the decorating man now, because I have always imagined myself that I'm a decorator. My friends tell me that I am, but you see, I'm probably just an amateur who's just very hopeful. So all of us hopefuls out there and all of these amateurs, what's your best tip?
My best tip. Oh, gosh. Okay, here's my best tip. It's twofold. It is always have something fresh on the dining room table, or if your kitchen table is your main table, ours is kind of our big kitchen island, is something fresh. It doesn't have to be fresh flowers from your yard. If you have that, that's great. But fresh greenery and little votive candles, because it makes everything sparkle and look fresh and look clean, and it just perks up everything. I know sometimes people get overwhelmed because you can't always buy fresh flowers. And if you're, you know, in the middle of winter in, like, Minnesota, you can't, you know, just clip fresh flowers and things like that. So boxwood hedges or I'm not sure what kind of trees you guys have back way back there, but just snippets of branches. And they can be really tall in a tall vase, or they can be really tiny and short. And then little clear votive candles kind of up and down in the center of the table, like in groups of like five or seven. And you'll be surprised how many people comment on how pretty the table looks. And since that tends to be the focal point a lot, it makes a huge difference.
I would totally agree with that, Roxanne. In fact, I remember I have bigger bouquets now that we've been married 30-some years and we make more money. But way back when we were first married, I wanted to do the same thing, so I had to buy a tiny bouquet. But, you
right.
know, I found even the tiny fresh, because it was fresh flowers and it was tiny, it still made a difference on the table. So
it
I agree
does,
with
and
that
I,
totally.
Right. Yeah, and I just think, again, it's just that something was done. My daughter will go out and she'll on Mother's Day or something, and she'll go out and cut something from the backyard and put it on the table. And I, you know, you wake up and come out in the morning, and I'm like, oh, she thought of me, because she knows that I really love that. And so it's, you know, it's really not about what's on there. It's just about the thought.
I agree with that, too. And anything out from the backyard, I have a rosemary bush. And so sometimes I just take rosemary clusters and put that on the table, and it makes the house smell nice. And
it does.
So
and mint leaves is great. And you can put that in a bed somewhere on the side yard, because it takes over. And mint smells so good on the center of a table. And I do that a ton out here in California, because that just seems to just spread like wildfire out here. So,
yes,
you know,
I agree.
Something that I saw in the book that – it was one of those things where you have this epiphany where it's like, I knew that. You know, I'm reading
right.
It's like, oh, well, I knew that, but I guess I never really thought of it in those terms. And it's it's in the book, and it's labeled touch, smell, sight, sound, and taste.
Oh, the five senses, right,
yeah. The five senses. And it's like, well, you know, when I think about homes that I've gone into where I've felt very welcomed, you know, all those things are addressed. You
right.
know, all the different senses. And I guess I never really thought about it, although when I'm reading it, I'm thinking, oh, I knew that. But
right, and I think that the great thing about the book is there is nothing, like, really prolific about it. It's pretty basic, but it's kind of a reminder, because we've gotten so overwhelmed with all of the Home and Garden Channel stuff and Martha Stewart and all of the magazines where everything looks perfect. It's no wonder we want to have somebody over and go, oh, I can't do it. I'm too tired. I just don't have the energy to do it, because we're expecting this picture of this, you know, magazine spread. But if you just kind of go over a mental checklist, you know, classical music in the background, you know, a lovely smell, which could be mint leaves or rosemary, like you said, in the middle of the table. It smells so good. And then I say a welcome at the door, and I keep a little chalkboard standing right outside my front door. And my kids, that's their job to go write whatever. So, of course, my smart alecky 15-year-old son writes stuff, something. One time he wrote, welcome, door, and then the arrow. And I was like, okay, you literally wrote welcome, door? You're supposed to write welcome and their names and put it by the door. And he's like, you know, 15-year-old boy doesn't get the whole thing. So my daughter does a better job, but they still thought it was really funny. So, you know, and then you touch on the, you know, the candle lit is the soft enveloping feeling. And of course the food. And the one tip I would give, because probably every woman that's listening thinks, well, I either work or I homeschool six kids or I, you know, everybody has a busy day, but keep the meal simple. I mean, soup, you know, really yummy soup or the crock pot and some fresh French bread. It's kind of the experience of eating together and having that fellowship than it is a spectacular meal. I really think not any of us would say it's about the spectacular meal.
That is beautifully said. And Sheila, I hope you don't mind me cutting in here. Actually, Roxanne, I think this is the first time Sheila and I have ever fought over our guests trying to get questions in.
True.
So anyway,
that's cool.
I'm so curious because I have empty nest now, and I'm always trying to think of mother-daughter things. And we did some good bonding while she was home, but I'm still wanting to do bonding things. And so I'd love to know more about that aspect of this. When you wrote this book together, when you photographed it, did all these things and put this beautiful book together, how was this a bonding experience for you and your daughter? What did you experience?
You know, it was, I have to say, and since she's going off, she graduates high school in about 2 weeks, that it, you know, I might get misty, but I'm pretty good because she's not going too far away. You know, it was just the best thing I could have ever done. And even a couple years ago, I would have said that too. But now, as she's got her first boyfriend and, you know, and has, she's just growing, and we had all of that time together where I'd say, well, wait until this or wait until that, and then now those times are happening, and she says, oh, I remember when you said this is going to happen, and it's just all that rich time together. And the other thing I wanted to do, you know, it's wonderful to do a mother-daughter Bible study, and I highly recommend all those things, but those are, of course, things that we kind of are expected or kind of hope to do. But to do something that requires you to be out amongst all kinds of people is really a great kind of a great field to teach them about things you don't want them to do as well as things that you should have them do. And so that bonding was a very real experience. I mean, we worked with, you know, layout people, photographers, every element from beginning to end, and they were Christian and not Christian, and we were kind, and, you know, I hopefully taught her always to be kind and patient, and then she in turn taught me a lot of things. Patience was the biggest one, but it was just amazing. I think that's the best way to say it.
Well, you said some nice things there, and you said, even though you had this wonderful experience putting this book together, you're also saying there's other mothers and daughters who maybe can't put a book together, but there's so many other things they can do too. So I like that.
Yeah, and absolutely. Inspired 31 came out of that. And that's kind of why it ended up developing. Now we have speakers. We meet 4 or 5 times a year. We have speakers. Dana Gresh has come, different people, and we encourage mothers and daughters to have something to do together, whether it's, you know, cooking dinner every Friday night or going to the local, you know, aged home in your area and reading a story. It does not have to be a book. In very few instances would I highly recommend doing a book together. you know, it's whatever your family or you, even if your family doesn't have a, you know, like a talent or legacy that you think of right away, they probably have something in terms of a character trait or a, you know, a kindness or something that you can emphasize and think of a way to share that. So there's lots of ways.
I love that. Thank you. And Sheila, since I've railroaded this whole conversation, I'm going to pass the mic back over to you.
All right. Well, you know, you're talking about things that you do together, and I notice in the book you have a lot of pictures of your family and some history in here. I found that very interesting. What was the purpose for including those in the book?
You know, kind of about legacy, and I'm careful to use the word legacy because I do know that there are lots of families that don't either consider that they have a legacy, that don't have a legacy, and sometimes that it is not something, they wouldn't consider it a legacy, they just don't want to pass some certain things down. So, but in our family, we really had a beautiful legacy of design and a very close-knit family, very loud and very, you know, just funny. And our dinner tables and breakfast table conversations were just loud and expressive. And, you know, I guess you could say we were kind of Italian without actually being Italian. But it was important because I feel like I totally got all of that blessing of design from my grandfather, my great-grandfather, who happened to actually be in the Smithsonian and the L.A. County Museum of Art, and all kinds of really cool things that could be really worldly, but we kind of wanted to put him in the perspective of, look, you can take all those things that could be considered, you know, worldly status symbols, and you can use them to honor God in them. And so we tried to kind of take that legacy and kind of turn it towards, especially for my daughter, to kind of turn it towards using that, you know, to bring, well, for one thing, for this orphanage where the money goes, to give it to those kids and use our talents for somebody other than ourselves to benefit from it. And it was a fun way to do it on top of that.
And I think that, you know, it's, I love that you're teaching your daughter pretty much selflessness, because, you know, it's especially in the teen years, and I can say this because I've got a tween and I have a son who is in his late 20s, so I've been through the teen
yeah.
years. You know, school will teach you how to read and write, but it doesn't teach you things like the importance of legacy, like the character traits like selflessness and doing for others. So this is really a learning opportunity for both of you to have gone
it
through
really
the process.
It really is, and yeah. Sorry. and we also put you can see there's maybe four page spreads where we have pictures of our family, like snapshots. And the reason we did that is in all the design books I had, like I said at the beginning, that I had on the shelves from different perspectives, you know, that were sold at Barnes & Noble, none of them had pictures of people actually living in the houses. They were all these perfectly set tables and houses. And I thought, I want to show the perfectly set table, and then I want to show the page behind it where it's used, and there's, you know, pancake, you know, the remnants of the pancakes and all of those things, because that's really what real life is. And it's kind of the balance of, yes, it can be beautiful, but after the meal's done, it's a disaster just like everybody else's. So.
And, you know, the reason I brought up those pictures, I'll tell you, when I first got the book, I'm like everyone else. I love to look at different types of ideas and you know, be inspired. But, you know, like you said, you look at those and you think, wow, that my house can never be that. I'm
right.
never going to be, you know, it's never going to be perfect. And then I saw those pictures, and I really felt like this immediate connection, because it's like, okay, well, my house does look like that.
Yeah.
You know, I see people enjoying, you know, you see the beauty and you take the picture. But then you also see people actually in the midst of enjoying what you're doing. And that's more like what my house looks like. So.
And really, that's what all of our houses look like. In fact, a couple of the clients, back when I don't work anymore, but back when I was working while my children were in school, and some of the clients, they're all clients that are, whose houses are in the book, and they would say, boy, my houses never look like that. And it was their house. So it was like, boy, you got that looking, you know, good. Yes, we decorated it, but it's so clean, and the napkins are ironed, and, you know, in all the pictures, it took us 8 hours and four people to get it to look like that, and it took us 4 hours to photograph that table. So it's pretty funny, because even the houses where the pictures were taken, you know, people would say, that doesn't even look like my house. So you're not alone. That it takes a long time to get a house to look that clean where you can take a picture like that.
Now, we actually only have about 2 minutes left. And real quick, I just want to mention this one thing that really intrigued sure. me, called the Teenage Blessing Tea. Can you tell us about what that is?
Sure. And on my on the blog, you can go on inspired31.org, and you can also go back and find an article on that. But basically what it is when my daughter turned 13, we gathered a group of about 10 women who were mentors to her. She got to help me choose the list, and it was women that she loved, a couple grandmas and some mentors, to bless her. We did not have children there because we wanted it to be all about her as she started those high school years. And it turned out to be probably one of the best things I've done in the 18 years of parenting, because it was a blessing. I went around and said the character trait of the women that were there. So some of my friends, maybe kindness or determination or you know, somebody who was an amazing person with a illness that was debilitating, yet they still, you know, persevered. And I had no idea how that was going to bless them. It blessed them so much it took 4 hours to get around the table, but because there were so many tears and whatnot. And then they said what they saw in Hannah, and that they prayed over her, and that they would help her walk her journey of her teenage years. And then we put the little notes in a book, and that's the one thing when people read the book, we've had pages of articles in secular magazines and things, because in the Christian world too, we don't have those rites of passage much, and we're actually writing the next book on the teenage blessing tea, because there's so many people that want that for their grandchild, child next door neighbor, whomever their special teenager is.
Yes, yes. I was immediately drawn to that. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh,
and
sure.
we've run out of time. I just want to make sure I tell people the website again. It's www.inspired31.org. And, of course, tomorrow you can go to In Faith Network, and we'll have the links up there along with the podcast and a little more information for you that'll be available. And, Roxanne, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
And thank you also for being here with me.
Oh, absolutely. This was very enjoyable and inspiring tonight.
And I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in, and I hope to talk to you again next week. I'm Sheila English, your host.
In Faith Network Radio, blessings through entertainment. www.infaithnetwork.com. Come join our ever-growing Christian community.